Now it's time for a discussion in search of truth, dealing with current topics relating to your world, life, and spiritual growth in Christ. Now in the studio today is the host of True Path Talk.
All right, so it's good to have Mississippi State's Senate Angela Hill with District 40 on the phone with us today. Been serving now since 2012, beginning her third term. It's a joy to speak with her. Before we get started here on the interview, I was looking at the passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 through 21. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. As I mentioned on our last program, on one of the interviews, of lifting up our leaders in prayer, and we are, but really praying for the senators on the state level as well as local level in this crisis and the chaos that's going on, to have wisdom from God to know what to do. So, Senator Hill, it's a pleasure to have you on here today.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and, you know, the Lord's Word is what we need to look to for guidance, and that's certainly, you know, how I try to make my decisions and try to make my decisions based on the best knowledge that I have, and just, you know, put that information out to people and ask them to do some of the things that, you know, from the president on down that we're asking people to do, like social distancing, hand washing, don't make unnecessary trips to where you're putting yourself in contact with people that you don't have to put yourself in contact with, because the primary concern is, just because you feel well and you don't have any symptoms does not mean you're a carrier, because there's too many patients who have gone to the doctor or the hospital for something else since this thing started, and the doctors have incidentally found on a chest x-ray or a CT scan that their lungs are a mess, even though they're not getting sick yet, and then wind up, you know, going ahead and test them and they're positive for COVID, but yet they're out there in the community and they're able to pass this thing before they have symptoms. So, you know, it's not being an alarmist. It's not being, you know, panic stricken. It's just the very fact that this disease can be transmitted before you're even sick, and the right. fact that it's much more contagious than the flu, and the complications that arise from this thing put too much of a strain on our healthcare facilities, that just honestly nobody was prepared to be able to have this many patients in ICU that we have in certain areas, and we're so close to Louisiana. I know friends and family that work in those hospitals, and they're just exhausted and you know, having to make makeshift places to put the sick people. So, you know, the fact is we shouldn't panic, but we don't want to overwhelm our healthcare facilities if we don't have to, and I think that our actions can make a difference on that. How we social distance.
You're probably getting asked the same thing, even as a pastor, I'm getting asked, is my thoughts on the virus, and is it really a big deal? I know for me, a good friend of mine, he's actually a missionary in Costa Rica, is in the hospital right now with the virus, and a young guy in good health, and it is very serious. So those social distancing is very important right now.
It is very serious, and I think, you know, some of the things that we were initially told, and statistics still show that most of the people that are hospitalized or that pass away from this thing are, you know, over 60 years old or over 65, but we're seeing cases all around the country where healthy, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old people are getting this stuff, and it's just, you know, it's just ravaging their bodies, and they wind up in the hospital on a ventilator. So that's the thing that's concerning, is the unpredictability of who's going to get, you know, extremely sick with this and who's not. I know you can look at statistics and say mostly it's old people, but you can always look around the hospitals and read social media from what these nurses and doctors are posting, that it's not discriminating against people, you know, your age, my age, 19-year-old, 17-year-old. You know, there was a case in one hospital in Mississippi that I was told about, and I know that it's true because I know the people that work in the hospital, that they had a 17-year-old trauma patient come in, and as they were, you know, taking care of this trauma patient and got some x-rays and CTs back, they noticed that the lungs looked really bad. And typically, from what my cousins and other people that work in the medical field tell me, is their lungs all look like that they show up white on an x-ray, like they have like broken glass, almost opaque looking. And so, you know, before you even know that somebody's positive for COVID, you've, you may have already treated them for a trauma and exposed yourself and the whole team in the ER or whomever is working on this patient,
exactly.
because they're not having symptoms. And that's the danger to this. You know, you think, well, I can go see grandma, I feel okay, or I can go see mama, I feel okay. But then, you know, you could be carrying this stuff to grandma or mama. So
right.
we need to respect the fact that we have old people and debilitated people that we could carry this stuff to that, you know, probably could not shake it if they got the disease. So that's why you can't be too careful. And the people that are laughing about this thing and, you know, ridiculing me and saying that, you know, I'm just, you know, fear mongering or whatever. I'm not doing that. I'm listening to the medical professionals that are treating these patients that are becoming overwhelmed. And we're having our medical people get infected with this stuff because they're treating so many patients at one time. And, you know, there's not enough PPE, personal protective equipment, in some of these hospitals to go around. So, you know, that's the thing. We really need to pray hard for our medical personnel, our healthcare people that are on the front lines dealing with this. Everybody has somebody in their family that's a healthcare worker that's coming in contact with this.
Yeah, I got a text message Sunday morning right before service from a member in the church that's in the healthcare in a hospital. And it was, hey, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for these medical doctors and nurses. And so it's real. It's really an issue that's hit the local church. And so I'm seeing it and see the needs of it. So you mentioned the protective gear. Give us an update as far as locally within the district, the state, how that's going with the hospital supplies. And then one of the questions would be, is there something that folks can do locally to help if there's a need? So go ahead, Miss.
Well, you know, the masks that are really, really coveted now by hospital employees who are dealing with these patients are the N95 masks. And I know that the state government and the federal government is working day and night to try to get more of these things produced and in the hands of the medical professionals. But, you know, there's a fear that they're not going to be able to keep up. There's a shortage of gowns. I've had one clinic tell me today they were down to 2 or 3 gowns. I think one hospital, you know, was getting very low on gowns. So that's the problem is there, you know, you really should take these things off and dispose of them when you go in and out of these rooms and they're getting so short that, you know, people are having to reuse this equipment and then, you know, you run a greater risk of infecting yourself or infecting somebody else when it comes down to having to make decisions that you would not otherwise make if you had, you know, ample equipment to use. So that's the big thing is we need to really pray hard and we need to, you know, really look hard for, you know, anybody that has anything, any of these masks, in their business that they're not using, in their commercial or industrial business that they're not using, that they could donate to any healthcare workers. I think we gathered up, my husband and I gathered up, you know, a pretty good box full, 100 or so, and took them to our hospital about a week and a half ago. We had some really donations from businesses in Picayune that, you know, had some and said, yeah, we'd rather a healthcare worker use them than them sitting on the shelf. So, you know, I've spoken to Congressman Palazzo's staff this morning. They're trying to help. You know, my door's open. If anybody that's a local elected leader or anybody that's in the healthcare business, you know, reach out to me. I might not can solve your problem, but I will certainly try to put you in contact with somebody that can. Trying to constantly go and update social media to answer these questions about small business loans, about the federal stimulus, who's going to get a check and when they're going to get a check and what the criteria is. I have been just, you know, constantly posting the information that the state leadership has sent me through the Lieutenant Governor's office and through the Speaker's office. So that's kind of where we are. There's, you know, an order across the state about the social distancing and not having more than 10 people gathered. But honestly, you know, a lot of people are ignoring that and they're still congregating. They're still having parties and we're seeing posts on social media from some of these nurses and respiratory therapists that, you know, have intubated patients that have been at parties and potentially infected a bunch of other people because they didn't know they were sick. So, you know, I said this morning on the live stream with Pastor Alan Hickman, and Pastor Harvey that, you know, God gave us all good sense, and now's the time to look really, really hard and try to find it and use it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what about updates with drive-through clinics?
Okay, well, the Mississippi Health Department, in conjunction with the Mississippi National Guard, has been actually trying to secure a location in Pearl County, I know, for at least a week and a half, to set up a drive-through testing clinic. And there was, you know, some delays in getting approval from the local government for a location for this drive-through clinic. It was supposed to be tomorrow, but due to not being able to get a site approved, it's tentatively postponed for Saturday. And I have not gotten an official press release, but I believe that that's going to be at the county health department. It will be by appointment only, and it will be by Mississippi, for Mississippi residents only. And I posted a news release from UMC on my social media page, and I will go and repost that whenever I get done with this interview, because there is a number that you can call to get an appointment, and there's also a C-Spire medical app that you can use on your phone to be able to access that and try to get an appointment. My social media is Angela Burks Hill on Facebook. Most of my people look at Facebook instead of Twitter, so I try to post most all my updates on Facebook, and I post them public so that anybody in the public can go to my social media page and read it. So if you're interested in the drive-thru clinic, I will be reposting that press release from the University of Mississippi Medical Center with the number and with the C-Spire app.
What about information concerning unemployment for those that might need help with the state with that?
Yes. We know that the numbers, the call-in line has been constantly busy and jammed, because I try to call every number myself to see what the constituents are experiencing. And we know that that number is staying busy and that people can't get through. But there is an email that they have, leadership has told me to provide to the public. And if you will email them, we are being told that within 4 to 5 days that somebody will get in touch with you. And that email address is CV, capital C, capital V, 19@mdes.ms.gov. CV, capital C, capital V, 19@mdes.ms.gov. And that's also posted on my social media.
So social media, is that the best way for someone to get in touch
with
you?
Social media is the best way, because there's so much information and there's so many links that we can post to direct people directly to the sites that they need to go to. Social media is basically the best way to go. You can look on my page. You can look on the page of Representative Stacey Wilkes or Representative Jansen Owen. And they are also sharing the information on their social media pages. I have an information that I shared from National Federation of Independent Business that had some information on the small business loans, on the unemployment, on sick leave, you know, frequently asked questions. Also, on my social media, you can go to your local banks. They will know all the information about the small business loans, because the way the federal government set that up is that you can go to your own bank and get your loan through your own bank, and they should have all the information that you need to see if you qualify. And also, I got a call from a CPA yesterday that I know in the area, and they are also trying to help their customers navigate the small business loans. So you can contact your local bank or your local CPA, and they are trying to stay on top of the small business stimulus, the loans and things. And these are some of these are forgivable loans that you can get to continue to pay your payroll or pay your employees while they're at home, and it will be a forgivable loan up to $10,000. And I think that's what the kind of the first line of defense that many small businesses are trying to do, is to try to get this and continue to pay their employees. Typically, self-employed people cannot get unemployment. That's a question that I've been asked. If you've been self-employed, that's the best information I can get is you've had to work for somebody within the last year.
Okay.
And that came off the National Federation of Independent Business update that they sent me, so I'm just going by their update. So if I say anything that's incorrect, I apologize. I'm going by the professionals that have been sending me updates.
Okay, great. I appreciate that update. Anything else that the listeners need to be aware of?
Well, the main thing is you know, try to limit the trips that you make to the store. Try to help elderly people. If there's anybody that you know that does not need to get out, try to help them. You can take their grocery list, and when you go get yours, try to get theirs. And I know sometimes they're limiting you to how many loaves of bread or rolls of toilet paper you can get. But if you need some help, you know, contact your local churches. If you're elderly and you don't have somebody that can run an errand or get something for you and you're a high-risk patient, let one of us know. The best way to get in touch with me is my cell phone number is 601-916-3952. My email is ahill@senate.ms.gov. And I know that there's many local churches that are community folks that are willing to try to help somebody if they need some help with their medicine or getting their groceries or something like that. So, you know, in a time like this, you look to the government for leadership, but they can't provide for your every need. And God tells us to look out for one another and make sure that we share what we have if we know somebody that's in need. And that's exactly what we need to do, and that's what's going to get us through this.
Yes, completely agree. Well, Senator Hill, I sure appreciate you being on the radio with us and give us an update. Hopefully this thing will move through, and we won't have much more problems from this.
I think the sooner that we heed the warning to social distance, and I don't think a lot of people, you know, there's some people been doing a very good job of this, but there's some people that are not doing a very good job of this. So, you know, if you have teenagers, know where they're at. You know, try to keep them from having parties and, you know, crowding up in the creeks and the beaches and things like that. And honestly, if we would do what we needed to do using good common sense, there would be no need for the government to step in and tell you what you have to do. But I can tell you when the capacity of the hospitals is overflowing, you're going to have directives coming from the government that are stronger than what they are now. And that's just unfortunately the way it's going to be.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. God bless.
Okay. You too. Right. Bye-bye.
Right. This is Pastor Jeremy Wilson, and we appreciate Senator Hill being on the True Path Talk with us here. This is on Wednesday that this recording was made. Actually, afterwards, about 1 p.m., we were able to talk with Mr. Danny Manley from the Pearl River County Emergency Management. He's the director there. And so here is information also concerning the COVID-19 in our county and effects as we talked to Mr. Danny.
Okay, so as far as Pearl River County goes, we have 32 confirmed cases, and that is up 2 from yesterday. So as of 6 p.m. last night, we have 32 Pearl River County residents that have been a COVID-19 virus. We still have no deaths for county residents. The state now is 136 new cases overnight, and that is up from 90 the previous night. So I'll give you an idea of what's going on in the state as far as the trends. We did break 1,000. We're at 1,073 cases, and we've got 22 deaths due to the virus. Also, the Jasper County is one of the few counties that had not previously reported a case. They did report one yesterday. So that's the stats. You want to know what's been going on today?
Yes, sir. Go for it.
All right. So the governor announced that he was going to have a press conference today, and it was originally scheduled for 4:30 this afternoon. The County Board of Supervisors president had been working with the governor's office for several days, working on an executive order that would work for Pearl River County. The results of that effort were going to be announced by both the governor and the Board of Supervisors later today. The cities of Pekin and Pomperville also today were enacting orders. I believe they call them Safer at Home, which are, it's a similar executive order to what you've seen along the Gulf Coast. Pretty much everybody's on the same page, you know, both cities and the county. And in that, these new orders, we're doing a lot of the same things that we've done in the past, which is following the CDC guidelines of social distancing, no groups of larger than 10 people, and all the hygiene as far as how to wash your hands. The other thing is yesterday, last night sometime, we were able to nail down a community testing site which will be at the Pearl River County Health Department in Carrier. I believe the address is 7574 Highway 11. So that's going to be open Saturday, April the 4th. When these orders are issued, you know, it's going to get, it's just getting more serious about staying at home, and it's going to be looked at a lot harder. Possible enforcements that they haven't been discussed yet, you know, all the enforcement situations, but something like that's coming. And the critical businesses, for the most part, are going to start doing business a little different to make sure they comply. I was talking with the manager of Walmart about the changes, some of the things he is doing and some of the things he plans to do. It was a major effort. He's looking at masks and gloves for his associate. He's adjusted his store hours from 7 to 8:30. He's got clean teams that come in at night and wipe down the whole place. And then he's got additional clean teams that are now coming in and wiping down the high-touch areas every hour. He's got signage on the walls. He's got markers on the floors to tell people how far 6 feet is. He's got audible reminders about social distancing and sanitizing. He's got hand sanitizers and antibacterials throughout the store. Another thing, he told me he's ordered sneeze guards to separate the shoppers from his associates, and those will be installed sometime this week.
Okay.
And just some you know, really, really positive things to make sure that, you know, people can still get their groceries, but do it in a safe way and minimize the spread of the virus.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of, or I guess how is the county itself doing with the cases or hospital system? Are they overwhelmed at this point as well, or
they are working hard, but they are not overwhelmed as far as people, ventilators, personal protective equipment. Everything seems to be going well at this time. If there was a surge, we're going to be in a bind.
Yeah.
But right now, we're handling everything.
We appreciate you listening. This has been True Path Talk with Pastor Jeremy Wilson as your host today. And just try to keep you up to date with things going on in our county and our state. And remember to pray for our leaders, pray for those in the healthcare system. As I mentioned in the interview with Senator Hill, I've got personal friends. I've got some church folks that are in the medical industry, and they're dealing with this problem as well as those, as my personal friend, as you heard me talk about in that interview, is also has come down with the COVID virus. And so a lot of prayers can be offered up and keep these individuals lifted to the throne room of grace. Appreciate you listening. Look forward to being back tomorrow with True Path Talk.
Thanks for listening to this episode of True Path Talk. You can reach us at truepathradio.com, and we would love to hear from you with questions or comments.